stand together, if you will. Glad to be out this evening.
Yes.
Praise his name. Let's bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. What an honor it is to, Father, have that pull in our hearts. Lord, a desire to come and to hear you speak. Lord, in this wicked hour, Father, we walk, we live. Father, look around us. Father, it's so terrifying, Lord, in the spirit, Lord, to see what's going on. But Lord, to know that it's all in your time. Father, it's so close to be time to go home to be with you. Lord, just talk to us tonight. As you walk amongst us, Father, as you promised, look in our hearts. Anything we need, Father, pray, Lord, that you would just reveal it to us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Bless the service, Lord, each and every phase. May it just please you in everything, Lord, we ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Like to turn in our only bleed books, page 130. It's right there. This is truly like heaven to me.
We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. Oh, we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair.
Singing in the promised land.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Walking in the land of story, holding to my Savior's hand. Living in the realms of glory, over in the promised land. I want to sit right down at my Savior's feet and hold to his nail-scarred hand. Sing and shout for climbing upon Zion's mountain, hear the
166 are only bleep bucks. Amen. Know this from my heart. I love it. Amen. When we all get to heaven.
Yes. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
Precious Lord Jesus, Father, as we come. come to this part of the service, Lord, and saints have made known, Lord, there's things in their hearts and their lives, Father, that they'd like for you to take care of. Lord, bring it to your attention. Lord Jesus, Father, your scriptures told us to ask that our joys may be full. Lord, I know that each and every one, as we raise our hands, our first most desire is to please you, Lord, and to have your way in our lives. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would look down, see the need, see what's on our hearts, and you know what's best for us, Father. Lord, you won't put anything on us that we can't bear. So, Lord, something we're going through, a trial or a test, may just be preparing us for something else. Lord, you know all things. I pray, Father, with your wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that you would just reach down, touch every heart, Lord, every life, meet every need, Lord, as I know you only know. Father, we thank you. Bless the service, Father, and your word as it comes. Lord, may you, Lord, just speak to every heart, fill our hearts and souls with revelation, we ask. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Somebody have a special tonight? Amen. Praise his name. Josh, you got something? 360. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. And he that is in me. Oh, sing it again. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. And he that is. Stand then, if you will. Sing a little chorus, only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe.
precious Lord, it's a grand opportunity to come once more and together with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, together around your precious word, and to though it'll be my lips, Lord, that rehearse and renew the things that are written here, Lord. If you'll just send your Holy Spirit down upon these things, Lord, and dip it into our heart, maybe in a little special way. Lord, you know the purpose behind it, Lord, and you know each place each one of us is standing. And Father, we just ask that your will be done in all things, Lord, and we ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and open up our hearts to the hearing, we pray. And we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thankful to be out this evening. And, you know, we're just so thankful. It's dreary out there, but we're thankful for the rain. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to see the leaves and everything drinking it up.
Yes.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Amen. You want to have a little thought for this evening and praying it'll help someone along the way. But very familiar scriptures, and we're going to the quotes we read tonight will not be new, but if we just open up our hearts, as I said, each one of us are standing in different circumstances in life, and we each one are going to face different circumstances in life. We're in a training ground. We're in a growing ground, and the Lord is preparing a little bride to be able to withstand, and she's going to stand through every fiery dart the devil's going to throw at us in this age. But our great general that's leading us, he knows what we need to prepare us. And you know, every circumstance in life doesn't happen by chance for that little elected seed. Everything that comes was in God's plan somewhere. He knew it would happen before it did. Amen. And he's going to use it to his glory and his honor for that little elected seed. But here in Matthew, the 8th chapter, and let's just start here at the 23rd verse. And when he had entered into to a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey? May the Lord add the blessing through his word, and you may be seated. If you could just maybe channel yourself to think about this a little bit different this evening. As you think about these disciples that have been walking with our Lord, seeing many miracles take place, maybe even doing miracles themselves, seeing this great works going on around them, and what they believed and what they claimed to believe and what they were seeing done. But here in a moment of unsteadfastness, a storm come up, something that was out of their control, something that they knew that their human minds automatically began to go to work to tell them that, you know, if the boat capsized, we'll surely drown. We're going to be lost. There's no hope for us. And so thinking about that, is you just got to put yourself in their position for a moment, because each one of us are each facing life. And every day, things happen. Storms arise, situations, and many times they're not in our control. Sometimes they're bigger than we are as a human being. And we're no different than the disciples were at a point here. Now, this was before they were born again, but as a human being, our minds are channeled to think like human beings. But God sent us here not to be human beings or to pattern after this world. But our thoughts and our desires are being trained. We're being conformed to the image of his Son. And never did you see the storms of life take Jesus down. You didn't see him get all overcome by the situation that was coming around him. But he was calm and he was steadfast. And a lot of times in prayer, till his sweat came as drops of blood when circumstances was overwhelming. So you've got to think about this, but here these disciples were in that boat and realizing that it just took a word from Jesus, and look at the storm that calmed. Now, You got to bring it down to our day. We've had a lot more time and a lot more training to be able to look back into these scriptures and to see what he did. And by God's grace, on the day of Pentecost, he sent back the baptism of the Holy Ghost to a select few, that they would have something that was bigger than them, that they wasn't just in the ship with them, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in all the world. But as we think about this, we can oftentimes go through life and things happen, things arise, and we just kind of get a little bit overwhelmed. And sometimes if we would but stop and just remember, if we would just take the time to get that little prayer closet and just find that space and time with the Lord, he is an ever-present help in the time of need. And he's there to listen, he's there to strengthen, he's there to encourage. And you know, as we think about that, let's turn over here to Matthew, the 14th chapter, and another little situation. And just kind of to put a little picture together. But this is where Jesus, the storm was out and they were in the boat. In Matthew 14, in about the 22nd verse. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And you think again of all that had been taking place up to this point. And Peter knowing that if Jesus told him to come, he could come. But yet when he stepped out of that boat, he took his eyes off the promise and began to look at everything around him. And he let everything around him influence his thoughts. And he was overcome. And he lost his assuredness that he had. And you see him begin to sink, and Jesus, and he cried out, Jesus, save me. And Jesus was right there to pick him up. But as we see each one of these circumstances happen, and it's kind of, if you look at it, how that back to back, it wasn't that many scriptures apart. They're both in a ship on a stormy sea. And he just told them they were little faith. They were being tried. This was something that was shaking them up a little bit, pulling out their weak place. Yeah. Think about it. And that's where often things happen to us. Maybe we often wonder, why is this situation happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why is this? What is this thing? But he knows what it's going to take to put the strength in each one of us to be able to stand when all else falls around us. And he allows these things to come into our paths. He's ever mindful. He's ever watchful. He's not turned his back. He's not forgotten his little bride. Things may look like it's shaken up all over this earth. Things look like it's in total disarray. Churches look like it's totally sliding, and things look, you know, it's why don't you come here? Why don't you go there? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? There's just all kinds of turmoil all through the land today, keeping us stirred up, keeping us rocking our ship. Was this right? Is that right? Where do I go? What do I do? How do I look at this situation? God knows all about it. And you know, he said he would never put more on us than we can bear, but he's going to put the strength in you that it's going to take to be able to make you stand. Because the day is coming, we're going to have to stand and stand alone. Yeah. On each one. You can't go in on my shirt tail. I'm not going to go in on your shirt tail. But we've got to have faith of our own to hold us and to withstand in this day. If you think about it, as our pastor has mentioned it many times, it's going to take more faith in this age than any other age. That's revelation of God's precious word that will hold you no matter if you're the last one standing. It'll keep you standing there knowing, I believe, God said, and it'll happen exactly so. But you know, as you think about that, as we, each one of us, we've all been, you know, most of us have been in the message a long time. We heard it, we know it. But as our pastor has even been stressing it over the last few weeks and months, is it real to you? Is it real to me? Or am I going along knowing that God said, the word said, but is it anchored in my heart? Has it anchored down on the inside that it's a manifesting out from the inside out that he is alive and living and that he is greater in me, proving that he is greater? You know, as we think about that, Brother Brandon made this comment in the message, Go Wake Jesus. And he had read that. He was talking about that first scripture we read. But just think about this as he goes on here. He says, we'll just start about paragraph 97 and catch it down to paragraph 105. He says, so maybe he was resting from one revival to another, and he was resting between Genesis and his coming, taking a little rest. And then while he was trying to rest, the disciples had forgot about him being with them, and then the trouble arose. And the minute she starts, when the church forgets about the presence of Jesus Christ, when we forget and begin to fuss and stew and argue about our denominational differences and so forth, that's exactly when trouble starts. But as long as Christ is there and the Holy Ghost is blessing all the people, we don't care, color, creed, or whatever it is. We're all in one great big pool of God's blessings, just fellowshipping under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we don't notice it. But when we begin to try and think, you know, my denomination is a little better than theirs, a little bigger than theirs, we have more members, that's when the trouble sets in. And so they begin to get that the troubles arose when they forgot about him being there, and so much talking about him and not recognizing him being with them. Brother Branham says, I wish I had some time to nail that down. They were talking about him, but they had forgot he was laying in the very ship they were in. And oftentimes, we can kind of get into that same scenario. We come to church every time the doors are open. We claim to be Christians. We claim all of these things, but let life smack us in the face, and we forget that he's with us. We forget that he has still got a hold of the reins. He's still in control. And oftentimes, as humans, we let that shake us, and we often let down our guard. But if we would but remember his ever-present help in the time of need, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he said he would be there with us to the end of the earth. He said, but they forgot he was laying in the ship, and today that's what's happened to the churches. We talk about him. We have so much intellectual till men are so trained to the scripture till they can bring a message that you can't lay a finger on it. But where is God? And that's what I want to know. Where is that manifestation? See, intellectual sermons. The Bible said just before the antediluvial destruction, Jesus said, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man as it was in the days of Noah. There were giants in the earth. There were giants of great stature men. And today there is intellectual giants. There is men who are all great men, great powerful men. They know the Greek just like they know Hebrew and everything and can set it together intellectually. But where is that revival? Where is that God that burns in the heart of the human being? Amen. Not how intellectual it is. It takes simplicity to bring the power of God. And then they found, like we have today, that trouble set in, the ship began to rock, and the winds blowed the sails away. And the water filled up the boat, and all hopes were gone, and all hopes of survival. But I want you to think about that. How often it is, do we lose our testimony that quick? Do we lose our fortification and where we're standing? And this isn't, you know, as you think about it, it's weighing ourselves in that balance. It's easy when there's no pressure. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to serve God when nothing's happening around you. It's easy when life is just sailing and it's like, oh, what's happening? But let a little trouble strike. Let a little turbulence come along. And is the stabilizer still there holding us? Do we still have an anchor that holds us through that storm? And you know, it's a time to think about this. And I'm praying that as we read these things, that it'll encourage you and strengthen you to think about it. each one of us are going to face different trials. We're not all going to have the same test. We're not all going to have the same circumstance. Our great Heavenly Father knows where our weaknesses are. And He knows where each one of us needs to be strengthened. And He knows how to think, what's Peter say? That the trying of your faith would be more precious than of gold. And oh my, to know, to find that weak link, that to strengthen it, to build it up, to hold it in all things, that it would prosper and pass the test of time. In the message, let me see here. So as I was thinking about this, I had come across a little poem. And it kind of goes along with this, and I don't know who wrote it, but they kind of put it together. But it just to stop and think about for just a moment, as we're talking about, you've got to remember we are human beings, but we're to be filled with the Spirit, His life expressing through us. Yeah. But just, and this was probably wrote by somebody just trying to get a point, but it makes you stop and think. It says, you're holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm and make you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did I spill the coffee? Because someone bumped into me, you would say. And they said, that's the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you would have spilled tea. And whatever is inside that cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside of you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? And you know, if you just stop and think about that just for a moment, of as life is rattling me, and it happens, it's going to happen every day. It might be the simplest thing. Somebody short you a few nickels at the cash register. Somebody didn't nail down the board exactly the way they told you they would do it. There's many things that come along all day long. And it could be little things, it can be big things. But what is truly spilling forth from my life as these things happen? And as you think about it, as you look back at the disciples, it was easy to see the fear and the anxiety. It just spilled from them in their circumstance that was happening. What do we see today when things come our way? Are we able to bear all things? Are we long-suffering? Is brotherly kindness just spilling forth with an abundance? Do we look into all of this word? It's a manifesting time. And you know, as we've said, we've seen many preachers be able to get up and really preach fine messages and go out to church door and let somebody scratch their car. And boy, it's on them. Or step on something that they had. Or offend their wife. Oh, it's so easy to see them just lose everything they had testified of. But that's what I'm talking about. We've got to bring it down to individuals. It's our turn to manifest His life. This is just a place we come together. But every day as we walk the streets, wherever we are, wherever we're rubbing shoulders with, they have an opportunity to truly see this Word made living manifest through you and me. And is that what they see, or do they seeing us weak and we don't know where to stand when life comes and it shakes us and, oh, it's so easy to get rattled, so to speak. Oh, how we should be crying out to the Lord for revelation and understanding and to be filled with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost to the point to know that I'm full and there's no more room for nothing else. That whatever rattles me or whatever shakes me or bumps into me, all that can spill forth is Jesus Christ and His life made manifest. Oh, how it ought to burn in our hearts. Here in the message, looking unto Jesus. This was preached January the 1st, January 22nd, 64. Just start here about paragraph 33 to catch what he was saying, to think about this. He says, some people, when they look to Jesus, they look to see and look at Him. And they, let's see, he says, some people, when they look to Jesus, they look to see Him and they look at Him. And then they see Him only as a church founder or a church organizer or maybe a creed for a church. That's what many people look to Jesus to see. Is He just a new creed that was added to an old doctrine? Now, many people look to see Him like that. And some people look to see Him as a myth, Santa Claus, or some of them look at Him as some historical act that God did many years ago. and some of them looked to him as yet a baby in a manger. But the question is, what do you see when you look at him? Do you see the second person of the Trinity, or do you see a Trinity or three in one? You'll only see him as you look at him through the Word. And that's the only way you'll know it, because he is the Word. It'll reveal himself. It depends on what you're looking for. If you look to him to argue, then you're looking wrong. He didn't argue. It wasn't meet for him to argue. Remember, you see him as you look at him through his Word and recognize him. And you cannot see him until your eyes is open to the fact. Two men can look at the same scripture and disagree. But one of them has got to be right and the other one wrong. Sometimes there is things that's happening around us that we cannot understand. And others saying they see things and others see nothing about it. Look at Dothan down there that day when Elijah had been surrounded by the Syrian army and his faithful servant Gaza, who lived with him, waited on him, cooked for him, and kept his clothes and clean, and poured water on his hands, was right with him day and night, listened to him teach and preach. And that morning when he woke up, he looked out and he seen this Syrian army all around. And he said, "My father, alas, look at the opposition we have, the whole Syrian army." You see, Elijah, when he rose up and looked, he saw something that Gaza didn't see. And so he prayed, "God, open this young man's eyes." Now his eyes were wide open, but he said, "Open his eyes that he might see." And when his eyes spiritually came open, the whole mountains was full of chariots and of fire and of angels all around the prophet. See, it was different when his eyes came open. And people look at the Word literally, and that's the way you're supposed to look at it, but it declares itself both literally and spiritually. The Spirit makes the Word to live to the promise. In other words, it's a seed. And the Spirit gives its life. It unctions. It gives it to go. And the rain gives to the seed that's buried in the ground. It breaks forth life. And when you look at Jesus as the promised Word of the hour, then it will be revealed to you. If you look at him, and you'll see that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same Christ. Now, portions of God's Word has been allotted to every generation, all the way from Genesis. And God always sends someone. Usually the ecclesiastics get it so mixed up until it's in traditions and so forth, as it was at the coming of Jesus. And then God sends a prophet along. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. He reveals it, stoned to death, put out, kicked out. And then after he has gone a while, they build a tomb and say he was a great man. And they live in the shadow of what he was back there and refuse the word going on today. And it's just like man. He's always talking about how great God is and what he done and what things he's going to do and not seeing the things he's doing right now. He looks at him in history, looks at him in prophecy, but forgets he's doing the same right now as he did then. But that's just in man, though. And as we think about that, as we see God's word and we're growing and we're each one growing as calves in the stall, and you look at you think about the disciples in the situation they were in. Look at the many things they'd already done and the mighty works that they were doing and seeing done. But they still had a weakness. They still had a place they needed to get to. And it's the same with us as we're growing. We may have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it will teach us and lead us and guide us into all truths. But we are still growing. And we must realize that we have to lean upon Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the teacher. He is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you know, oftentimes, he don't reveal everything to everybody at the exact same time. And how we must be patient. Maybe God's Word comes forth and I don't fully understand. I don't see the picture, but I can read it. It's there. It's time to pray and to be quiet and to close my mouth and to wait for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me personally. It's good to say amen, and we should. We can agree that it's God's word, but has it truly been revealed to the point that it's anchored down on the inside and it's holding me? Not that when the winds blow and the waves come, I sway in every direction with whatever's hitting me. But I've got to be fastened to that rock that'll hold when all else is going. It'll stay right there. It's a time of maturity. And it's a time of people growing up in Christ. Amen. And each one of us has got to come to this place. And there's so much, you know, in the presence of God unrecognized. Brother Branham, as he brought that message, and I've mentioned it many, many times, but He said it would get to the place there would be so many voices that God could speak in the midst and they wouldn't even recognize him. And when you think about the examples we've been given down through time, the scriptures prophesied that John the Baptist would come and he would come the way he would. And he came and they recognized him not. Jesus, it was prophesied he would come, that Messiah. And it was told and all that would take place and he come and they recognized him not. And we can be in the same place. We can read all that the scriptures have said is going to happen. And we can be blind to the very thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to do if we get ourselves lifted up and don't stay in humility and cry out and ask God to lead and direct us by his Holy Spirit to show us each one the reality of where we're standing. Oh my, you know, as a leader, you know, you take generals in the military, just for a small example. You know, they might meet in a great big room and have a big map laid out. And they've studied the terrain. And they know where the enemy's at. And they know what's going to happen. They can see all the great picture of where the attack's going to come from and how they're going to, when they're going to deploy and when this is all going to happen. And you know, they go out to maybe 10,000 men that have no idea. That's just standing out in the ranks and they say, we're going to put you here and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And then men are following blind those orders. But that's what they're trained to do. And unfortunately, we need to be trained into the same manner. That we only listen to our general that's standing before us, the word of God. That we truly look to him. I may not be able to see what's across that next hill. But this general is looking and he can see what's over there. And by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he reveals to his fivefold ministry the things that we have need of to prepare us and to protect us and to get us ready for that next charge. And you know, it's not a lifting up of the fivefold ministry or anything in that manner, but you've got to respect, you've got to see God is a five-star general. And it's you just, the natural types, the spiritual. And if you'll just take for a moment and think about it, you can see how the Holy Spirit is working to bring us to that place as individuals. Whether you come here or wherever you attend, wherever God's word is truly being preached and that little elect's getting ready, the general, the Holy Spirit, he can see far more than any of us will ever see. But if we can ever get in tune with the conductor and get in the same spirit and get raised up in the holy unction of the Holy Spirit, you'll open your eyes to be able to see just like Elisha's servant and you'll see the things that the Holy Spirit is seeing around us. But oftentimes we've got our eyes too focused on all the waves. We're looking at the storm, we're looking at the wind, we're looking at the rain, we see everything else and we forget to focus our attention to the thing we were headed for. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus alone, amen, and you watch him take you through all the way. Oh my, there'll never be a moment. It doesn't mean you won't have hardships, it doesn't mean you're going to have hard times, it doesn't mean life's going to be a bed of ease. But it's a whole lot easier to handle those great big storms when you know and you can rest and that he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll give you peace and comfort. Amen. Just thinking of that, and this is in the super sign. This is Brother Branham just said this in November 29, 63. He says, God knowed the end from the beginning. It's paragraph 10. Therefore, he could plan everything that it would work out to his glory. And that gives us courage to know that no matter what comes or goes, God is making everything. The clock is ticking just exactly on time. Sometimes we get weary, upset, we get hastily, and we think, oh, we must do this or that. But remember, God's clock will be just exactly on time. All these things has to be this way. It has to be all be done according to his great knowledge, his foreknowledge. For by his foreknowledge he could predestinate, not by his desire, but by his knowledge. And God doesn't predestinate by his desire. He is not willing that any should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would accept it and who would not. Therefore, he can make everything work according to his big time clock that's ticking away. For he could foretell the end from the beginning, and therefore he knew that we would live in this day. He knew that this would be our day, and he had plans for this day. He had plans for every day. And never has one of his plans ever failed. He is always on time. Amen. And if you just stop to think about that, that he's always on time. And he's always mindful. As we see, I print a couple little examples here real quick of just just call back to our minds, Brother Branham was, he referenced, and we talked Abraham and Jehovah Jireh. This was preached February 22nd, 1955. And we all know we've read the story in the Bible of what took place and what was going on. But just put yourself in that situation for a moment of Abraham sacrificing his son. He's laying on the altar. He's tied. He's bound. He's laying there. And Abraham's got a knife in his hand. And he knows that that knife, the minute it falls, that child's life is over. And can you imagine, just as you've got to remember, Abraham was a human being. He was not, he was a natural man. Isaac was a natural son. They came and was born the same way you and I were. They lived the same kind of life, just in a different time frame. And so as the Holy Spirit was talking to Abraham, and this was, and God spoke to him, just think about that here as he says, we'll just grab paragraph 59. He says, and as he throwed the wood on little Isaac's shoulder and climbed up the hill, a type of Christ. He says, wish we had time to go into that, but we're pressed right now. So up the hill they went, and Isaac said, Father, he said, here's the wood and here's the fire and the altar, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Oh my, you see, it's something had to happen. God will provide. And I told the boys, you and I'd be back. God told me to come up here and kill you, but God will provide. Somehow, I don't know how, I'm going to come out, but I'm just walking on. God will provide. He says, I love that, don't you? His faith didn't fail. He didn't stagger. He reached over and got his son, tied his hands and his feet, his only beloved son, God and Abraham. You see it? God and Abraham. God could take his own word through Abraham to trust himself. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, surely God could trust his own word as your healer, as your Savior. So he tied the little fella's arms, and he threw him up on the altar, and he reached back, stroked his hair out of his face. Think of it, only son. And he pulled that knife out of the sheath, and he laid his head back like that, and there's the jugular vein, that big, come across his throat, his trembling hand. The crucial moment come, his only son. Perhaps reached down and kissed him, not knowing that just what would take place, but he was trusting God. And Abraham's seed does the same thing. When the last moments come, they still take God at his promise. He reached down and got the knife, and he pulled it back and just started to stab his little boy in the throat. And about that time, the angel grabbed his hand and said, Abraham, stay thy hand. God will provide himself a sacrifice. And about that time, a ram bleated, hooked with his horn in the wilderness. Where that ram come from? Look, Abraham was 3 days' journey from civilization. An ordinary man can walk about 30 miles a day, and I can. An ordinary man can walk 30 miles in a day, and then he lifted up his head and saw the mountain afar off. Watch the impossibilities, perhaps between 90 and 100 miles away from civilization. And then again, the ram was up on top of that mountain where there's no spring, no nothing for him to drink from, nothing for him to eat. And the ram appeared on the scene in that crucial moment, for he is Jehovah Jireh. He will take care of the circumstances and the emergencies. Amen. I want you to think, just keep that in mind, is it don't matter what you're facing. God will be on the scene at the right time. And you know, we've been left with a lot of examples of how far people have had to go before God moved because he needed to work to his glory and to his honor. Look, all down through the scriptures, Lazarus died and had to be buried, but it was all in God's timing and for his purpose. Look at the jailer, Paul, and then beaten and laid in a jail. Looked like it was impossible for their situation, but God had an elected seed there that needed to be saved. Yeah. Think about the situations that we face. Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? How is this taking place? But God knows what he's doing. Yes, he knows when it needs to happen. He knows what needs to take place to bring whatever it is he saw in his mind to pass exactly the way he wanted it done. Yes. In the... This was in the message, the Evening Messenger, and speaking about the Hebrew children. And, you know, Brother Branham dramatized this, but if you just listen, it's almost like he truly was looking and watching this scene unfold. Now, we know that he was adding to it a little bit, probably as a dramatization, but just think about what he is saying. And he said one morning, way down in Babylon, amen. He said, I can look up, I can see the throne, angels standing around, and look down here in Babylon, I can see a burning furnace. And I see three children standing there saying, our God is able to deliver us, but we're not bowing to your image because it's contrary to the word, and we're standing here.
All right, said the king, walk up the steps. You're going to be burned. Great husky man on the end of this spear, and here they came up the steps, step by step, hotter and hotter. And I can see an angel standing over one side of the throne, grabbed a sword and pulled it out and said, Father, look down there. What's going on? Let me go down. I'm Gabriel, and I'll change the scene. But he said, put your sword back in the sheath, Gabriel. I've watched it. And here comes another. Father, I'm Wormwood. I'm the destroyer with water. In the antediluvian time, man sinned and mistreated your people, and I turned the whole world into a globe of water. I'll wash Babylon off the map this morning. Let me go. He says, I know you could, Wormwood, but you're a faithful angel, see, but I can't let you go. This is my job, and I'm going myself. Have you seen them? He said, I've watched them all night, and I've heard their prayer meeting. I've seen them stand by my word, and I'll be there on time. Oh, my. I can see him raise up his kingly garments, fall around him like that, and say, come here, east wind, north, south, and west. Step over here under a thunderhead yonder. I'm going to ride you as a chariot this morning, and I'm going into Babylon, and I'm going to change the scene. Oh, brother, he was right there on time. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, and he's still watching tonight, watching me. He's watching you, and he's watched whether we'll stand or not stand and what decisions we will make. Whether we'll stand true to the word or get away from it. And he says, it's later than you think. Amen. And this was clean back in 55. And I want you to think about that. He knows the circumstances you're facing. But you look at how tight he let that circumstance run for those Hebrew children. That even the man that threw them in was slain from the heat. But he was standing in the flame with them. Amen. At the end. To prove that he is God. And as you know, every circumstance, as we're going through this journey, things are happening around us. But it takes those circumstances for some others, maybe. It might not even be for you. You might have to go through it. But oh my, it might be to the glory of God for some other purpose. But he had to use you to get there. Or it could be to strengthen your faith, to give you more place to stand. After the Hebrew children, that happened to them, you think there's any other circumstance that could ever come their way that would make them waver? Never. Never. They didn't waver then. They wouldn't waver again. Amen. Amen. God was proving them out. Yeah. And how it's got to come to us. Are we truly a people? Life gets heavy. Burdens get heavy. Things are happening around us, but have we learned to lean on Jesus and Him alone? That's where our strength comes from. That's where our support comes from. That's where my comfort comes from. That's where my joy and my peace comes from. It's not myself. It's not how I learn to handle situations, but it's what Jesus Christ is doing through me, through you, each one of us, bringing us to that place of a full maturity that he can show forth that little bride that she will stand when all else is falling. But may we be a people that's truly dependent and learning to lean, as I said, on him and not upon ourselves, not on how I can handle this situation, how I can control it. The day's coming, there's going to be many situations you're going to have no control over. You're only going to be able to lean on him. Yes. And may we be a people that truly can take it in stride and say, not my will, but thine be done, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's see here. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This was Brother Branham's prayer in the Message Masterpiece. Preached July 5th, 1964. He says, Lord Jesus, thou, the fountain, inexhaustible fountain of life, flow through us today, Lord, and cleanse us from all unbelief and all sin, that we might stand in thy presence now, knowing that there is need among us, and that we know that we are sinners and not worthy of any blessing. But then we think of him who came and took our sins, and then when his blood is there, it's not us in the presence of God, it's him. It's just our voice through the blood. His blood is speaking, O God, then cleanse our hearts from sin and unbelief. Give to us the desires of our heart, for we truly have these desires to serve you. In these weakening conditions and afflictions and things of the world that's put upon us sometime to perfect us, we've been told that. Then he said, think it not strange that these trials come. They're only working out for our good and to perfect us and to bring us into that place, these great deserts of experience where righteous men are molded into saints. We thank thee for these experiences, Lord, and we would no mean no wise want to do anything contrary to your will. But we pray, Father, that in this we'll be brought closer to you. And when the burdens are so heavy that we can't go no farther, then we'll raise our hands and scream to our Father and then hear from heaven, Lord. Amen. And all, what a consolation it is to know that he's listening and he's there and he knows every circumstance. But you know, sometimes you got to remember, as human beings, we get a little rushy. Sometimes we get a little, maybe expecting it a little quicker. We want things to happen. We want this to take place. We want to help this circumstance. It would be so much better if it went like this. But we've got to be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit and wait on God. All in his time. You know, I think back to where we were 20 years ago. And I look at God's amazing grace. And in our time, that's been a long time. But in God's time, it's been a blink of an eye. And so we know the appearing of the Lord is close. It could be tonight. But I do know one thing. He said he wouldn't lose one of his own. And I'll rest assured that he knows what's taking place. And he is watching over his little elected, wherever they may be. I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. But if we will stay in tune with the Holy Spirit and stay in tune with his word, and to make sure that the manifestation of that life is spilling forth from us, somewhere through that, we're going to see him move on the scene, and we'll see things change for someone in this world. It don't mean where we come from. I'm not even speaking of them for people alone. But it's God's predestinated seed. This world has gotten so dark, they don't even know what Christianity is. They don't know what it means to serve the Lord. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. Everybody thinks they're Christian. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. They've lost the reality that judgment comes. And it's truly laying there. And each one of us, we're seeing that. And that's God's grace to us that has opened up our eyes to truly see we're not just playing church. Everything that's been prophesied and everything that's been spoken is coming to pass. We see it happening. But I do rest assured he's not going to lose one of his own. Amen. And by God's grace, I want to be one that stays in tune with his Holy Spirit and stay in tune with him and stay in step. That if he can use me, but just to let my life spill over to somebody else. Not my words, not my mouth, not how much I can tell them and quote them and stick this out in front of them. But my life spill over Jesus Christ to them. Amen. That all, they'd just be like that old honeypot Brother Branham talked about. They just want to get around and get a lick. Yes. Amen. May our lives be that salty to people. Yes. And may we truly realize that he's in control. But let us not lose our faith. Don't waver. But stand fast and hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, as Paul said. And oh my, watch God finish the work that he's predestined. He will. Amen. And through it, it'll strengthen your faith. It'll build that in you to trust him more and more. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. That little chorus. Jesus, how I trust him. Amen. I can hear it. Brother Kevin, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, how sweet, yes, amen. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to know, just upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, how I trust him, how I
trusted in it. Amen. I'm so thankful for the word tonight. It's just been a blessing. It really has. I appreciate it very, very much. You know, and I couldn't help but to think with the many things Brother Timothy was bringing out. I got thinking about, I don't know, how many of you have read The Fox of Brooklyn Martyrs? Brother Brown talked about it. And, you know, you think about then those many old saints who was martyred. And they was, you know, they'd take them out in the arena. And you've heard Brother Brown talking about it and things. But to take those dear, precious saints at that time, I mean, it loved God with all their heart. Would have gave their life for God. They gave their life. You know, and they was gathered together, put out in that arena, and here's all these people standing around, you know, and as they go out in this arena and knowing they're going to face death. You know, we have a lot of trials and tests in life, but is those tests and trials really as great as when you know you're facing death? Really know that, you know. But they was no day was going to face death. Maybe look over here at this area over here, maybe see the lions just be ready to be turned loose. You know, I mean, they're over there just a roar, and they've made them, they hadn't fed them for a long time. They got them real good and hungry, you know. And then to see the time come here, the people's up in the stands just cheering, you know, and laughing and having a good old time. Here you are standing there with your brothers and sisters in Christ, some of the mothers holding babies, and then to be know those lions is about to be turned loose. Imagine what was going through their minds, you know? But yet God gave them a spirit to be able to go through that, you see? But the thing of it is to think what they went through, and then those lions turn loose, and they come running to jump on them and tear their limbs off. Grab the babies out of their arms. Others was turned out. Women, pregnant women, tied down to the ground, staked down, and had their stomach split open and jerked the baby up and out of their stomach, filled with corn, and turned hogs loose and eat the entrails while they were still breathing. And I think of these things, you know, I think, and with what Brother Timothy was talking about tonight, and we think we got tests and trials sometimes. We think we got a lot of problems, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you, God gives the true bride the spirit also takes to be an overcomer. To go through the tests and the trials they go through, that they won't fail these things come upon them all the time, but they'll be able to pass these tests. They'll go through it. Be overcomers, and they'll continue to press on regardless how hard, how bad things are pressing down on them. They'll be able to go through it. They'll face the test and have victory. So, you know, sometimes maybe it'd be better if we would think about it sometime and think about what somebody else has been through, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's kind of like Brother Timothy mentioned, you know, it seemed like so many times some of our tests and trials seem to almost wipe some people clear out. I mean, they just can't seem to handle it. It's too much, you know? Well, again, think about what others have been through and how they was able to come through it. You know, it may not be easy at the time, but yet the grace of God is there to pull you through it. And you know He's there. You know He's there to take you through the thing, whatever it may be. And by God's grace, pulled through it, and you've got the victory through Christ. See? So, and that's why, as Paul mentioned, the fiery tests and trials, they are more precious than gold. Think of that. It tries our faith, lets us know where we're standing at. The time, though, it doesn't seem like that's too easy to go through sometimes, some things go through. But yet, we ought to be thankful, we ought to appreciate it. Through it, the joy in our heart. And as, and just in closing now, and to think now, it said in there that when they took them saints out there in that arena to face what they was going to face, whether it be the lions that was going to tear them to pieces, the hogs turned loose on her, maybe the wife laying there tied to the ground, or it may be, before they turn these animals loose, they would begin to worship God and sing praises to God. Are we able to sing praises and worship God regardless of what we're facing? That's the time to worship God. When things are really getting hard on you, really coming down on your heart, just raise your voice, just lift your hands and begin to worship Him. Tell Him how much you love Him, how much you appreciate Him. He'll give you the strength to endure whatever it may be. Oh my. You know, we ought to think of those things because they was there for a reason. God let these things happen. I'll be able to look back on these things and learn from them, you know. So we appreciate what was brought tonight. Trust every one of you got something out of it. Should have got many things out of it. Amen. So we're so thankful. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we again say thank you from the depths of our heart for the gracious Word of God that was able to go down into our hearts, Lord, and open up the channels that, Lord, we can measure ourselves up by the Word of God. We are so thankful for that. So thankful, Lord, for the challenge we feel and the love we feel in our hearts that you've given us to come under obedience to it. And Lord, not that it would just be words being read tonight or things being spoke about, but Lord, it'd be a living reality in our lives as we've had our minds renewed back to it. Truly may we understand, Lord, we are here in this life. And Father, these circumstances happen and the Word comes and gives us that overcoming strength and the Holy Spirit is given to us. And Lord, again, as our brother mentioned, that we can be conformed to the image of your Son. So we ask that you would bless us, Lord, and be able to take this Word that we've been given tonight and to help us to grow, Lord, to be more like you, because truly, time is running out. Oh God, if you could just open our hearts to that. Everything is shaping up for the appearing of the Lord. We must see that. So we ask that you bless us. Just keep us safe now as we make our journeys home. And Father, I trust those who are listening in tonight, they've been blessed by the Word also. And may, by your grace and mercy, if you tarry, we'll be able to gather together here again Sunday. And Lord, I listen to the Word that you have given to us. Done in our lives, and now as each one of us we commit ourselves in your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus we're learning to lead. It's an old song.